You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Sloan. Attorney General Loretta Lynch will investigate the Baltimore Police Department. In a morning press conference, she said the Justice Department will expand on a voluntary review already underway.
Rather than examining whether the police department violated good policies, we will now examine whether they violated the Constitution and the community's civil rights.
The decision was in response to the death of Freddie Gray and the riots afterward. The nation's midsection is bracing for another bout of severe weather today and throughout the weekend.
There's going to be a risk for tornado. Some could potentially be strong, very large hail and damaging winds.
That was meteorologist Corey Mead. There were twisters in Texas last night and in Oklahoma Wednesday. And on the East Coast, a tropical storm warning has been issued for parts of the Carolinas. Subtropical storm Anna is expected to start moving toward the coast soon with sustained winds of 45 miles an hour. This is USA Headline News.
Are you putting your money into an IRA, pension, or 401k? Then I hope you're prepared to lose 30, 40, 50% or more of your retirement savings. Because it's not a question of if the market crashes again. It's a question of when. It's going to happen. Did you know there is a way you can protect and grow your wealth safely and predictably every single year? The people using this approach didn't lose a penny when the market crashed in 2000 or 2008, and they won't lose a penny in the next crash. In fact, their money will continue to grow safely year in and year out, even when stocks, real estate, and other investments tumble. A free report detailing this savings program is now available. This free report shows how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and wealth-building power without risking your retirement in the Wall Street casino. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement. It far outperforms any IRA or 401k. To get this free report, visit bankonyourself.com. That's bankonyourself.com. Bankonyourself.com.
Prime Minister David Cameron's Conservative Party has won an outright majority in the UK Parliament. USA's Russ Jones reports.
Cameron signaled a conciliatory tone after securing a majority vote and says Britain's unique values will help it move forward and achieve more both home and abroad.
I'm convinced that if we draw on all of this, then we can take these islands with our proud history and build an even prouder future. Together, we can make Great Britain greater still.
Former Obama strategist David Axelrod was hired by the Labour Party in a losing effort to boost its election. I'm Russ Jones.
The Pentagon has ordered all military installations to boost security. It comes amid general threats by ISIS, but nothing specific. Yesterday, ISIS claimed having trained soldiers and terror cells positioned in 15 states. Thousands of police officers from across the country are paying their respects to Officer Brian Moore today in New York City. The 25-year-old was shot in the head Saturday by an armed suspect. This is USA Headline News.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-479-2697. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-479-2697.
It's the 70th anniversary of VE Day, and President Obama paid tribute to the men and women who served in World War II, saying they helped save the world and laid the foundation for peace.
This was the generation that traded in their uniforms for a college education so they could marry their sweethearts, buy homes, raise children, and build the strongest middle class the world has ever known.
Stanley Calkins, a World War II Air Force veteran, attended a ceremony today.
I was a radio operator on a B-17 bomber out of England, and, when 18 I was flying in warplanes, you know.
There were also observances in Britain and other parts of Europe. Republican leaders are planning a House vote next week on a bill banning late-term abortions after dropping a requirement that rape victims would qualify for the procedure only if they had already reported the crime to authorities. The new version requires rape victims to have counseling or medical treatment at least 48 hours before an abortion. The bill would make most abortions after 20 weeks of pregnancy illegal, with few exceptions. AAA says the number of Americans taking a trip of 50 miles or more will rise 4.7% to 37.2 million. Nearly 9 out of 10 travelers, or 33 million, will drive to their destinations this upcoming Memorial Day holiday. And gasoline should be about a dollar cheaper than it was last Memorial Day. For more news, go to usaheadlinenews.com. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
The news is sponsored by Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc.
In America, we believe in a future that is better than today. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has been working hard for their clients' futures, never taking a bailout, helping generations achieve dreams, buy homes, put their kids through college, retire how they want to. Today, Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. They are ready to help you feel more confident about your financial future. Put the strength of a global financial leader to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton, Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you achieve your dreams and goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. That's 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Ameriprise Financial Services, Incorporated. Member FINRA and SIPC.
Good afternoon. I'm Pat Smits, an attorney here in Hunterdon County. It's, believe it or not, Friday, May 8th, and it's a few minutes after 4 o'clock. Program, It's the Law. And I just wanted to give you an update on the weather. Tonight, be careful if you're driving late. There can be areas of fog, but it's going to be after 1 a.m. However, if you're driving early tomorrow morning, there are going to be a lot of areas of fog. So you know, if you drive regularly in Hunterdon County, what areas you have to look out for. But tomorrow, it will be clearing. Mostly sunny tomorrow, high near 77 degrees, so it should be a really nice day. Today, of course, was gorgeous. I mean, I hope everybody has been able to get out today. Even looking out the windows was terrific. Actually, I was at a meeting at the courthouse, and there's a huge skylight, and it was incredibly sunny. But in any event, tomorrow night, Saturday night, there are going to be areas of drizzle. As I said, Sunday is going to be partly sunny, just like Saturday. Again, on Sunday night, there will be areas with drizzle. It's Sunday is actually going to be warmer than Saturday, up to about a high of 84 degrees. Getting into Monday and Monday night, there are a chance of thunderstorms. So, by and large, it should be a very nice weekend. And that's always good, because most people are able to take off on the weekend. And if you're not, and you get Monday off, not as great, because there is that chance of thunderstorms possible after 2 p.m. So get out and do whatever you have to do in the morning. But it should be warm, about 82 degrees. So what are we going to talk about today? Well, I wanted to bring you up to date on some of the news. And then I wanted to talk a little bit about Social Security retirement and or disability benefits, because there's a lot of confusion. And I'm going to just give you some information about what we call the windfall elimination provision. I will, within the next few weeks, I hope, have an expert on Social Security and to talk about a number of important things that people need to know about Social Security. So, but what else is happening in as far as the legal news? Well, as I believe I had told you last week, a New Jersey federal judge unsealed an indictment against former Port Authority of New York and New Jersey Deputy Executive Director Bill Baroni and Bridget Kelly. Bridget Kelly was a former chief of staff to Governor Christie. Now, that was done on May 1st, and as you probably heard ad infinitum that Baroni and Kelly are charged in the April 23rd. They were charged in the April 23rd indictment with conspiracy to misapply and misapplication of Port Authority property, as well as counts for conspiracy to commit wire fraud, conspiracy against civil rights, and deprivation of civil rights. Now, this also is, a concern, or should be a concern, for Governor Christie, because these were two of his allies who are at the center of the Bridgegate scandal. And they did plead not guilty on May 4th, as far as that they had secured the, done everything that they were charged with. And their bail, unsecured bail, was set at $150,000 each, and they have a tentative trial date for July 7th. That's not going to happen. I mean, there's no way that trial would actually take place that quickly. But I'm sure now everybody's trying to work out a plea deal. Now, of course, what's happened, and Bill Baroni has been recently an attorney. He's been of counsel to Hill Wallach in Princeton. And so in the wake of being charged in connection with this, if anyone doesn't remember, what it was the abrupt closure of local access lanes to the George Washington Bridge in September 2013. And so Baroni has left his position as counsel to the law firm that was announced on May 4th. So he's, after what he had been doing, he was a lawyer at Hill Wallach. He was not a partner, but he was of counsel is a different way of working with a law firm. You're certainly not an associate, you're not a partner, but if the firm does not want to make an attorney a partner, they usually have them in an of counsel position. So this is certainly having repercussions, even though it was back in September 2013. And apparently there are three people involved, a number of people involved, but there was also, they've been both Bridget Kelly and David Wildstein, who were two of the figures at the center of that scandal, have been found in default in connection with a class action suit brought on behalf of individuals and businesses who experienced traffic delays caused by that September 2013 closure. And they were a clerk of court. Now, that's just an initial proceeding. Usually, if there's a default, that means that they did not answer in time, and they will, you can rest assured they'll be given additional time if they apply for it. But there are more indictments that possibly could be on the way. So while U.S. Attorney Paul Fishman has indicated that he said there aren't likely to be any more indictments directly related to that closure, they're still being investigated investigations into Port Authority Chairman David Sampson, and that those investigations continue even as Governor Christie seeks his party's nomination for president next year. So that is certainly going to haunt him. And I think the real concern, or certainly one of the concerns, should be how it will play in the Midwest, because unfortunately New Jersey gets a bad rap in many parts of the country, and I don't need to go into all the reasons why. I think it's unfair, but it's certainly, there's a perception, and this is certainly not going to happen, not going to help the governor as he seeks his party's nomination. There's also some good news, bad news for a certain father in New Jersey, this is actually a ruling of first impression in New Jersey, and there's only been a handful of cases across the country. So that what happened is a New Jersey family judge in New Jersey. Actually, I'm trying to find the case. I can tell you about it, but I don't see it right here. I guess I may not have brought it with me. But in any event, the good news, bad news is the good news for this man. He'd been identified as the father of twin girls. And, of course, he denied it. And what happens if that's the case? Now, if someone is married, there's a presumption that the woman's husband is the father of the child or children. But in this case, if someone is not married, and there are instances where a judge will, in fact, order paternity testing, even if parties are married. But in this particular case, it was in Passaic County, and the man, who was identified in court documents as A.S., was found to be the father of one of the twin girls. So then, how would that be? Well, what happened, obviously, is when paternity testing was ordered, it was ordered on both of the children, both of the twins, and the DNA testing confirmed that only one of the girls was, in fact, his offspring. So the outcome is, good news for him, is that he only has to pay child support for one child. Bad news for him, or someone else out there, if the mother now names another man, is that someone else fathered the other girl and is going to have to pay child support, but at least AS won't have to. So that's obviously unusual, but it can happen that sometimes twins, when they're born together, there's an assumption that they were conceived at the same time, but that's not necessarily true. And ordinarily, we would never know because it's the same father who, you know, fathered the twins or the triplets or the quadruplets, and so there's never any question asked as to if they were, if the woman was impregnated at the same time. But I thought that was probably at least a little different as far as news. Also, we found Governor Christie has finally nominated four lawyers for to be sitting on the bench, and he's also nominated eight others for tenure. But this is really important, and unfortunately, there's been no one nominated from Hunterdon County. And in fact, I was just at a meeting today, and Hunterdon County is so backlogged, and the judges just cannot keep up, especially the family law judge. Because he has everything. In other words, there's no reason why Hunterdon County should not have two full-time family judges. This is not just divorce. It's juvenile work. It's children in the courts, meaning the Dyfus cases. There are the non-married people, all of those cases. There are about seven different types of cases that the family part judge handles, including all the domestic violence. And it's just totally unfair for one judge to be saddled with all of this work. And so the luckily, in Warren County, Bruce Jones of Blairstown was nominated in Warren County. So that's good. We'll have a new judge in Warren County. The other judges were named for Salem County, also a second judge for Salem County, and then there was a judge for Burlington County. So that's, and then as I said, there are other trial judges that were reappointed and they have tenure. So that's, you know, let's get more. And especially here, because what happens is so often we had a judge here who recently retired, Judge Rubin. It's not even so recent anymore. Months ago he retired and we've had no replacement. Other news, there's the justices in the Supreme Court, the New Jersey Supreme Court, on May 6th, they heard arguments over the constitutionality of the 2011 pension reform law known as Chapter 78. And in this case, it's lawyers representing the state and public worker unions argued for more than 3 hours before the court. So that was a very lengthy oral argument. And they argued over whether or not Governor Christie should be ordered to work with the Democratic-controlled legislature to find a way to restore the $1.57 billion in pension fund payments that Governor Christie diverted to balance the state's 2015 fiscal year budget. So what's happened, and, you know, this is unfortunately, you know, he can now go around the country and say that, you know, he balanced the budget. Well, in fact, he didn't balance the budget, and, you know, where is this money going to come from in the future? And $1.57 billion is not a drop in the bucket. I mean, this is not going to be able to be made up easily. And, you know, our children and grandchildren are going to be, you know, under this burden, because obviously the workers are entitled to the pension. And even though they're going to play some games, you know, they can't make up for that. So it's really, really unfortunate. Okay, so what else is happening? Well, I'll be back in just a minute after playing some of the spots, and we'll talk about what else is happening in legal news.
I'm Dave Lang with Insight Financial Services and a proud member of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Even in this difficult economy, our family of companies, including Insight Financial, Premier College Funding, and the Insight Tax and Accounting Group, have grown and prospered. I believe that our participation in all of the opportunities that the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce offers to its members strongly contributes to our success.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to hold its second annual Hunterdon County Community Day on Saturday, June 13th from 12:30 to 6:30 at the Hunterdon County Fairgrounds in Ringo's. We thank our presenting sponsor, Hunterdon Healthcare, and the Hunterdon County Freeholders. Come get involved, be a vendor, an exhibitor, if you're a business or an organization. Come get before thousands of folks on this great day. Contact the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at hunterdonchamber.org. Once again, join us on Hunterdon County Community Day, Saturday, June 13th. Get involved with your community today. You're listening to HunterdonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HunterdonChamberRadio.com app today.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. The Justice Department will investigate the Baltimore Police Department to determine if there are practices that are unconstitutional or violate civil rights. Attorney General Loretta Lynch made the announcement this morning.
This investigation will begin immediately and will focus on allegations that Baltimore Police Department officers use excessive force, including deadly force, conduct unlawful searches, seizures, and arrests.
The move was in response to the death of Freddie Gray, who was seriously injured in police custody last month. Thousands of police officers from across the country paid their respects to Officer Brian Moore today in New York City. The 25-year-old was shot in the head Saturday by an armed suspect. New York Police Commissioner Bill Bratton gave the eulogy.
I posthumously promote Police Officer Brian Moore, Shield 469, to Detective First Grade in the New York City Police Department.
This is USA Headline News.
Hi, here's your delivery from Staples.com.
Thanks, Staples guy. My office is starving. Got any snacks?
Staples has pretzels, granola bars, energy bars, trail mix, all at a low price.
Nuts?
Cashews, almonds, pistachios, pecans, walnuts.
Chips?
Potato chips, corn chips, whole grain chips, gluten-free chips.
Whoa, that's a lot of snacks.
We also have antacids. Tablet antacids, liquid antacids. Make on budget happen, make break time happen. Staples, make more happen. Now at Staples, get a 42-ounce bag of M&M's milk chocolate or peanut candy for just $8.99.
Offer valid on SKU 689508 and 689504 and 523 while supplies last. See store staples.com for details.
Bunnies in the garden.
Yeah, rabbits are cute. Squirrels too, till they ruin your garden, feasting on your plants. Get yourself some Ortho Animal Be Gone. Animal Be Gone uses ingredients that little critters are naturally repelled by, but it won't hurt them. And the no-stink formula works without smelling horrible. Animal Be Gone from Ortho. We don't hurt them, we just chase them. Guaranteed. Learn more about how Animal Be Gone lives up to its name at ortho.com. Use only as directed.
Well, we're back, and this is the program, It's the Law. So let's, talk about some law and legal issues. And so one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about recently in the news is our own Hunterdon County, and that a judge here blasted a township for bad faith land taking. So I think anyone who is concerned about their land being taken, this is an important ruling. And Hunterdon County trial judge has ruled that the township's claim of environmental purpose for condemning land owned by a local airport, and I guess we know what case that is, was actually a ploy to thwart the airport's expansion plans. And this was Judge Paul Armstrong, and in a sharply worded, and it certainly is sharply worded, 54-page ruling issued on May 4th, Judge Armstrong invalidated Reddington Township's taking of property on which Solberg-Hunterdon Airport sits as a manifest abuse of the power of eminent domain. So this is an important case for anyone who is concerned about their land being taken. Obviously, there have been people who have been trying to do everything possible to thwart the expansion of the airport, and I can certainly understand their views. However, most of these people, at least, have moved into the area after the airport was there, and I guess we sometimes have to realize that when we do this, when we move to an area, a rural area, it's always the pig farm. My story is always the pig farm, and that's, people move into a house next to a pig farm, and then they start complaining about the pig farm. So if you move in near an airport, there's got to be concern that it could be expanded in the future. So this has really been a nasty fight for many years, certainly unfortunate, but there is at least a trial judge who's made that ruling. I'm sure that, probably Reddington Township will take it up on appeal. And, of course, they have a right to file an appeal. And, but the amount of money that has been spent on both sides of this case really has been astronomical. So at least there is a ruling from a trial judge. And as I have explained before, in any ruling by a trial judge, the person who loses has a right to go up on appeal. And this is what their right is. As a right from the trial court, a litigant has a right to file an appeal so that the issue then can be reviewed, and they file it on specific reasons why they say that the trial judge committed an error or that for some reason, you know, if they don't like the outcome. But it can't be just you don't like the outcome, because the appellate judges do everything possible, if the judge has done it right, to uphold the ruling. Sometimes they say that there's harmless error, so it doesn't make any difference if the judge made an error in some part of this, it was harmless, and so that they will uphold, whenever possible, the trial judge. However, trial judges certainly get it wrong, and often things go up on appeal, and in fact, the Supreme Court can take cases, and sometimes they reverse the appellate division and say that the trial judge was right. So at least in this case, we're through the first level, which is the trial court decision. There is another case in our area that on education law, and this has been this is a case with the Supreme Court ruling, and it was Bridgewater Raritan Education Association versus the Board of Education of the Bridgewater Raritan School District. And Judge Lovecchia, one of the Supreme Court justices, said that the statute, that's 18A NJSA 18A colon 16-1.1, requires a Board of Education to give an employee notice of his or her designation as a replacement. And then with respect to the claim of, this is Tamara Manzoor, there was a genuine issue of material fact existed regarding whether or not she was provided with such notice as to her status during the 2007-2008 school year. So it just clarified that if someone is hired as a replacement, they need to be given notice of that. So I'm assuming that what happened is the school district hired this, and I don't know if she was hired as a teacher or someone else, but probably as a teacher or a guidance counselor. And she thought she was in a slot that she could, in fact, continue. And I have to read the case. I haven't had an opportunity to read it. It was just came out. But she obviously didn't know that she was a replacement and that her term would be limited. And at this point, I don't know if it was a replacement for a year, replacement for maternity leave, replacement for a semester, or for some other reason. But in any event, that case went all the way up to the New Jersey Supreme Court. And at this point, they said that she... or the board had to give her notice that she was a designated replacement. Well, let's, I can get back to some of these legal, you know, some of these legal news. But as I said earlier, what I wanted to do today is talk about a certain provision in the Social Security retirement or disability. And this is important to know, that if you work for an employer who does not withhold Social Security taxes from your salary, now this might be a government agency or an employer in another country, but any pension that you get based on that work may reduce your Social Security benefits. And why is it? Well, this is called the windfall elimination provision, and it affects the amount of your retirement or disability. It actually affects how the amount of your retirement or disability benefit is calculated if you also receive a pension from work where Social Security taxes were not taken out of your pay. So let's be careful in what that means. In other words, if you work for an employer, you know, Hunterdon Medical Center, our biggest, or one of our biggest, I think it may be our biggest employer in Hunterdon County, or ExxonMobil, or any, you know, other business, and you have a 401k or pension that your employer contributes into, that doesn't count, because your employer in those instances also, and you also, are paying into Social Security. So it's not a problem if you have been paying into Social Security. But let's assume for a minute you work for a company overseas and they have some kind of a pension plan, but they do not contribute into Social Security. That's when the windfall elimination provision affects the amount of your retirement or disability benefit. That affects how the amount of your retirement or disability benefit is calculated. So what they do is they use a modified formula to calculate your benefit amount, and that formula results in lower Social Security benefit than you otherwise would receive. So what does it mean? As I said, it primarily affects you if you've earned a pension in any job where you did not pay Social Security taxes, and you also worked for other jobs long enough to qualify for Social Security retirement or disability benefits. Because obviously, if you didn't work long enough to qualify, that wouldn't have any impact. Now, this, for example, this provision affects Social Security benefits when any part of a person's federal service after 1956 is covered under the civil service retirement system. So if you're working for the federal government after 1956, your federal Social Security taxes are not withheld. So if you're in the civil service retirement system, the CSRS, they're not withheld, so that you would not be able to get, that would count. That would be one of the types of employment we're talking about here. Now, however, federal service where Social Security taxes are withheld under the Federal Employees Retirement System, that would not reduce your Social Security benefit amounts. So, in that case, if you're employed by the federal government, this windfall elimination provision may apply if you reach the age of 62 years old after 1985, or you became disabled after 1985, and you first became eligible for a monthly pension based on work where you did not pay Social Security taxes after 1985, even though you are still working. So, and I know that this is complicated, and one of the things that is important to know is you cannot rely on employees at Social Security to know all of these things, because they honestly don't. And so you have to be very careful if there's any possibility that there could be some difference. In other words, you're not the regular person who works until they're age 66 and qualifies for Social Security. And even if your spouse, if you're married, you have to be very careful, because there are ways to, over time, actually get larger benefits. And it's really important, because they can be significant depending on when you decide to take Social Security, if you suspend your Social Security. Obviously, if your Social Security is reduced because of the windfall elimination provision, because you're getting a pension from another employer, and during the time you worked for that other employer, you were not paying into Social Security. So the Social Security Administration, obviously, benefits are intended to replace only a percentage of the worker's pre-retirement earnings. And so the way that Social Security benefit amounts are figured, actually, lower paid workers get a higher return than highly paid workers. So it's an example of that. For example, lower paid workers could get a Social Security benefit that equals about 55% of their pre-retirement earnings. Now, the average replacement rate for highly paid workers is about 25%. So that's pretty significant. In other words, the most highly paid employees are not getting the same percentage in Social Security benefits that the lower paid employees are getting. Or I should say lower paid retirees and higher paid retirees. And when I say higher paid, I mean they were paid more during the years they worked. So before 1983, people who worked mainly in a job not covered by Social Security had their Social Security benefits calculated as if they were long-term low-wage earners. So they had the advantage of receiving a Social Security benefit representing a higher percentage of their earnings. Plus, of course, they got the pension from the job where they did not pay Social Security taxes. So this was an unfair advantage, and Congress passed the windfall elimination provision to remove that unfair advantage. So what would happen, for example, people working for the federal government would get their government pension, and then if before 1983, they would also get Social Security, assuming or based on the fact that their earnings, although they may have been lower earnings, but it was unfair. So now what happens is Social Security benefits are based on the worker's average monthly earnings adjusted for inflation. And the Social Security separates your average earnings into three amounts and multiplies the amounts using three factors. Now, this is true for everyone. And so it's important to understand how this works. So an example is a worker who turns 62 in 2014, the first $816 of average monthly earnings is multiplied by 90%. Then the next $4,101 is multiplied by 32%, and the remainder by 15%. Now the sum of the three amounts equals the total monthly payment amount. So what happens is the 90% factor is reduced in the modified formula based that's phased in for workers who reach age 62 or become disabled between 1986 and 1989. And there are also exceptions, of course, to the rule, so that the 90% factor is not reduced if the person has 30 or more years of substantial earnings in a job where he or she paid Social Security taxes. So that might be the person who worked, for example, two jobs and maybe even earned more on the second job than the first job. So the whole point of this is it's very important to find out and to look into and to keep track of your Social Security statements. Another hint is to make sure they're right. We used to get these regularly. I think every couple years we'd get a Social Security statement. Now that stopped. You have to go online, but I understand that they're going to start sending them again, perhaps only for older folks. But, you know, it is important to take a look and see if that Social Security mimics the amount of your Medicare wages. If you look at a Social Security statement, it talks about there are two numbers. And if you're a high income earner, the regular Social Security amount will be, your salary will be less than for Medicare, because Medicare is taxed, the entire salary is taxed for Medicare, but not for Social Security. There's a top limit, which changes every year. Just as the retirement ages, the retirement age changes every year. Right now, to receive full Social Security benefits, you must be 66 years old. This will go up. It has gone up from 65. Now remember, you're still eligible for Medicare at age 65, and it's very important to make application for Medicare. There are some exceptions if you're continuing to work and your employer pays for medical insurance through your employment. But again, these things are important, and they're important to start looking at them about 6 months before you retire, at least 6 months before you retire. because it can take that long. And if you have a spouse who's working and you're both considering taking Social Security, it's important to look and see and talk to a financial advisor as to whether it makes sense for one or both of you to delay getting your Social Security. And there are a lot of factors on that. One of the factors is, you know, how long do you think you're going to live? Because, you know, the longer you defer Social Security, the higher the payment will be. As I recall, it's approximately an 8% per year increase if you don't take it when you're entitled to take full Social Security. Now, there's another issue that people need to think about, because someone may retire at 62, 63, 64. They can get a lower Social Security. But, of course, if you go back to work, there's a limit on the amount you can earn per year without having, there's a limit, just put it that way, something you have to look into. So it's not unusual for someone to say, I can't wait to retire, I can't wait, I can't wait, and then they retire at 62, they begin taking Social Security benefits, and then they realize that either they're not going to be able to afford retirement, so they want to supplement their income, or they're just bored and they don't like retirement, so they want to go back to work. And again, there's a certain period of time where you can pay back Social Security. If you receive Social Security, let's say it's 2 or 3 or 4 months, and you decide that, no, you don't want Social Security, you want to go back to work, you can. There's an arrangement you can make to pay back Social Security. However, that has been changed, so I believe, and again, that's why you need to talk to an expert, but I believe that now it's 1 year. And so if you don't decide to pay back Social Security in a year, you lose your ability to do so. So there you could be at 63, 64 years old, and back at work, but not getting the benefit that you would get if you had not taken Social Security. So all of these things are honestly complicated. You know, there are a number of financial planners who are very astute, very aware, can help you make a decision as to what's the best way to go. You know, and in some ways, none of us like to do that, because we're kind of betting on, you know, when we're going to die, because Social Security, of course, ends when we die. So, you know, if we're living to 95 or 98 years old, probably most people would say, well, maybe I should defer Social Security as long as possible so I can maximize. But all of these things are certainly should become of interest. If they're not interesting, you have to be cognizant of the fact that it's important, and find a financial planner who knows about Social Security, can explain, and can help you ask the right questions of Social Security to see what your benefit is going to be, and how that will change over time. If there's an impact because you're getting a pension from another source. And as I said, the most common source would be federal government, railroad pension. You know, most private companies, of course, people are paying into Social Security. So be sure to, if you're approaching retirement age, and certainly if you're approaching 62 and thinking about taking Social Security, find out. Often it really makes no sense. And again, it depends on how long you expect to live and whether or not you're going to earn income over the threshold amount. But it certainly, some people can suspend their Social Security, and their spouse can take Social Security, and they can get by because that's going to be more beneficial in the future. So I'm going to be back shortly. I just want to, I'll wind up after playing some spots, if I can find them here. And please listen to the people who sponsor the radio show, because we depend on them, and they're local businesses, so we like to do business with local businesses.
Hi, I help students gain admission to colleges that are a great academic, social, and financial fit, where they will be successful, happy, and graduate on time with minimal debt. Email Diana at creativecollegeconsulting.com for a free consultation.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is a Forward New Jersey Coalition member.
London Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down. London Bridge is falling down.
In August 2007, the I-35 bridge in Minneapolis collapsed, killing 13 people and injuring 145, including little children trapped on a school bus. The bridge had been rated structurally deficient, but those warnings were ignored.
Build it up with iron and steel, iron and steel.
In New Jersey, there are 479 bridges carrying over 8 million vehicles a day, rated worse.
Iron and steel will bend and bow, bend and bow, bend.
These aren't just bridges waiting to be fixed. They're tragedies waiting to happen. On June 30th, the state's transportation fund will be empty. We need to replenish it now, because next time, it could be your family on that bridge. Go to forwardnewjersey.com and find out how you can help. Paid for by Forward New Jersey.
I don't like that commercial because it reminds me of that terrible tragedy between the bridge in Minnesota. And as I recall, it was a bridge spanning the Mississippi between Minnesota and Wisconsin. I could be wrong on that, but that's my recollection. But one of the, talking about bridges, one of the interesting things, and of course we certainly want safe bridges, and but I recently heard that there are more stone bridges in New Jersey than anywhere else in the country. I'm sorry, stone bridges in Hunterdon County, more than in any other county in the country. And interesting, I don't remember the name of the man, but apparently there was whoever was in charge of bridges and bridge repair in Hunterdon really tried to make sure that the stone bridges were repaired, renovated, whatever they had to do to keep them in good shape. And so there might have been one or two people here in Hunterdon that enabled us to preserve all of our stone bridges. Now, the other aspect of that is that for many years, Hunterdon County was very rural. I mean, we think of it as rural now, but it was very rural. There was not a lot of traffic. This was not, an area where there was a lot of traffic. We know that now we have 78 going through. We know what a nightmare 31 is, which is the main north-south road through Hunterdon. To some extent, Route 29, but certainly Route 31. And so, not and, but so in Hunterdon, there were not, excessive travel on the stone bridges. They were well maintained. And as a result, we have hundreds of stone bridges. And most of us don't even think about it. We don't look at the bridge when we're going over it. But I think how lucky we are every time I hear this commercial, and it does bother me that certainly the commercial is aimed at trying to get people interested in the fact that our funds are dwindling, and they need to be replenished to make sure that we have safe bridges, safe highways. I mean, we don't even think about it. We go down the road, and if there's a pothole, we recognize it, but who thinks about whether or not the bridge we're going over is safe, other than maybe the truck drivers, and I'm assuming that they probably do. So let's play one more spot, and then I'll talk a little bit more about the news, and we'll go to the weather.
Are you interested in learning more about Hunterdon County? Are you interested in growing as a professional and as a leader? Then Leadership Hunterdon may be for you.
Hi, this is Chris Bianco, class of 2014 Leadership Hunterdon. Work with other local dedicated professionals to learn about the complexities and interconnectedness of Hunterdon County.
We invite you to visit one of our many upcoming sessions as we begin to recruit the class of 2016.
Learn from and connect with established business, government, and community leaders.
Leadership Hunterdon, an in-depth 9-month program offered by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce.
And honored via invitation to help Hunterdon County with its challenges and shape its future. These are just some of the virtues of being part of Leadership Hunterdon.
Contact us at 908-782-7115 or visit our website, hunterdonchamber.org, for more information today.
Hi, let's talk a few more minutes about the law and then we'll go to the news. I did tell you about the education, the fact that the Board of Education has to let an employee know if they're a replacement or not. And, you know, that, can you imagine being hired, thinking you're going to be hired, and I don't know if this was a teacher, but thinking he or she's going to be hired, and if they do a good job, they're going to be, you know, hired for the following year, and then finding out that you're a replacement for just a certain period of time. There was also another, you know, lots happening around our area, because there's also a land use and planning decision, and that was the plaintiff in that was 388 Route 22 Reddington Realty Holding LLC, and again versus the Township of Reddington. Reddington must have been paying a lot of legal fees recently. And this was a Supreme Court decision in Justice Albin. And it's a little esoteric, because what the ruling is that a blanket policy of not recapturing unused sewer capacity is the functional equivalent of a moratorium on development. And so obviously what happened is that there are certain developers that were going to develop but didn't, and so that the township then would not allow someone else to use that unused sewer capacity. So in this case, the Supreme Court approves the trial court's approach, requiring the township both to undertake a detailed analysis of the unused capacity in the hands of private parties and to explain whether any of that capacity can be recalled. So this was, I think this might have been a decision the trial judge here might have been Judge Buchsbaum. I'm not sure. I think it is. But in any event, this is something that initially came out of Hunterdon County and the case. And, of course, now the question is, you know, what happens if there is unused sewer capacity? Can someone else use it? And or just, you know, can you just, if you're entitled as a private developer to a certain amount of capacity, can you just sit on it and have it go unused? There was also something in Phillipsburg, although it was an unpublished decision, meaning it can't be used for precedent. But here, municipal police departments engaged in the enforcement of Title 39 Motor Vehicles and Traffic Regulation, and they're prohibited by statute from establishing quotas for arrests or citations. Oh, isn't that interesting? By statute, they can't establish quotas for arrests or citations. And according to the case, Township of Phillipsburg Police Department has a self-directed patrol index policy with a stated purpose of, quote, establishing a standard by which all officers assigned to the patrol division are evaluated based on their performance in the area of self-directed, self-initiated work. And so what the Policeman's Benevolent Association filed a declaratory judgment action challenging the index policy as establishing citation quotas. Now, the trial court denied the plaintiff's applications to have the index policy invalidated and to have disciplinary action taken against two member officers declared void, but implicitly invalidated the index policy to the extent it implicated Title 39 citations. Now, in this case, the defendants appealed and the plaintiffs cross-appealed, meaning that everybody filed appeals. Now, the appellate division